Just wanted to give you a few thoughts about Easter for this morning. The first one is kind of based off whether you've fallen for any silly pranks in the past. Whether you've at any point kind of found yourself in the situation where you think, oh, I should have known that was coming, but I didn't. Here is my one that was the worst when I was at school. One of my friends said to me, I've got this horrible disease. I've got one arm longer than the other. Right? And then, you can see that it's true of me as well. And then he got his sister to do the same thing. And then he's got his parents to do the same thing. And so gradually there kind of became this elaborate thing until when one of my last days of school, he went, oh, look, I've been cured. And it took me ages before I kind of find, you. I love the fact that you were all like, maybe he was ill. he really wasn't. But anyway, and I wonder with the disciples and with the women at the tomb, how did they not know Jesus was going to rise from the dead? It was quite an obvious, quite a signpost thing in many ways. Let me just give you some of the ways that Jesus had already told them it was coming. So Mark 8:31, Jesus said, I'll be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Mark 9:30, I'll be delivered into the hands of men and they'll kill me, and in 3 days I'll rise again. Mark 10:32, we are going to Jerusalem and I'll be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes and they'll condemn me to death, and you'll never guess what. After 3 days, rise again. And so in many ways, when you go back over it, it seems so clear. And in fact, it was so clear that even the chief priests and the Pharisees knew it as well. They, in fact, went to Pilate and said, sir, we remember that he said after 3 days, he'll rise again. And so they put extra guards at the tomb. But it strikes me, perhaps it was no surprise that they didn't get it. After all, most of the time we know that people live and they die and they don't come back to life again. And so our idea of what's normal is perhaps skewed a little bit. If we can have my slide up, please. We've been watching a little bit of junk TV because it's Easter and we're off on holiday, etc. And I've been watching Louis Theroux. I don't know, any of you watch Louis Theroux? Little bit, okay. If you don't know who he is, I don't know if he pretends to, but he's kind of a bumbling Brit abroad who asks people questions to try and get them thinking about stuff. And this was him with America's Most Dangerous Pets. Now, I imagine if I asked you, some of you have got dogs and cats and maybe even a few tortoises, I've got rabbits. But he was going to visit people who had tigers. This was one guy, he bought it when it was small, not foreseeing the problem. There was other people with lions. One of them was trying to breed a saber-toothed tiger, which you think, I don't know how that works. There was a woman with a monkey that had just grown bigger and stronger than she was, all sorts of stuff. But at one stage, he asked the owner this question. He said, do you think that your lions are happy? Are they happy lions? Do they like their life in the cage? Do they like it? And the owner, I agree, I don't think they would either, but the owner said they've never known anything else. They've always been in the cage, they've always been in captivity, you can't miss what you haven't had. And I wonder if it's a little bit the same with Easter, and perhaps with the disciples, and perhaps with us before we knew Jesus. We didn't know that life wasn't meant to end in death. We didn't know that the world wasn't meant to be like it is now, that actually it was meant to be much, much better. And so when Jesus dies, he says, I've come that you could have life in the fullness, that you could be forgiven for the stuff you do wrong. You're going to have some of what I've bought you on the cross now. Some of that is now. You're going to be able to talk to God, your Father, now, be forgiven now, know freedom from sin now. But actually, there's a bunch of stuff still to come. And I think in many ways at Easter, we don't know what we're saved from, and we don't know fully what we're saved to either. I don't know what it would have been like in my life if I'd never known Jesus. I certainly don't know what it would have been like if I died and still didn't know Jesus and been separated from God. But similarly, the other side, I have no idea of the amazing future that awaits all of us. That amazing hope that one day we're going to be with Jesus. We're going to see God face to face. We're going to be there in heaven, and all of the bad stuff is all going to be gone. And all that because of the grave clothes, that we know that historically Jesus died and he rose and he was seen afterwards. He conquered death. Death is not the end for us. So I'm just going to ask you a few questions, and you might want to close your eyes, you might not want to, and just have a think about these questions that perhaps would speak to us from the Easter story. Perhaps Jesus would say to us, do you know, do you have any idea how much I have loved you from the moment of your birth? Do you know that even those times when you've walked around and not been aware of me, I loved you every single minute. Whether you were doing good or bad, I still loved you. Do you know how you were going to be separated from me forever? Do you know that your future was utterly, utterly hopeless? Do you know that I am God who made the heavens and the earth, and yet I came to the earth for you? Do you know that? Do you know that I thought that you were worth the nails? I think that you were worth the nails in my hands. That is how much I love you. No one will ever be able to love you more than I have loved you. Do you know that the things that you do wrong and did wrong appall me, that I hate them? But I love you beyond that, and I offer you complete forgiveness of everything that you have ever done wrong, that you would be free and be able to stand before me. Do you know that I welcome you into my family, that you are part of the Easter people, that death is not the end for you, that I have better things waiting in store for you than you have ever dreamed of or imagined? For a bit like these animals in the cages, they didn't understand what life could be. But we have had a foretaste, a little bit of what is coming, what is awaiting us. So if you do know him, amazing. And let's celebrate that. And let's remember how incredible Easter is again. And if you don't, can I say that you need to? It is the most important thing that you will ever do to decide to explore Jesus and to commit your life to him. Rachel's going to come and lead us in some prayers in a minute, but can I just pray for us first? And whether you're young or you're old, hopefully this is for you. Jesus, we are so grateful that you came and you lived and you died. We are so grateful for the foretaste, the bit already that we've had, like perhaps the chocolate you ate this morning and the mountain of chocolate that will be at home for you this afternoon. We've had a little bit, but there is so much more that you have in store for us. God, help us to commit to you, to love you. Thank you that you said we were worth the nails, that you loved us that much. Would you help us to know deep in our guts that love? And would you stir up in us a love like that for you as well? In Jesus' name, amen.